Vincent Prince, as I told you, is a former Scientologist, and he has used the internet to disseminate information as well as to gather quite a bit of information. He actually, he and I have known each other since 1976 in Scientology, and I left in 1989, he left in 1992, and I hadn't seen him or heard from him since I had left until this past summer, when he saw the Dateline show, which profiled Bob Minton's work with Scientology, and went into a cyber cafe in Chicago, and for the first time in his whole life, logged onto the internet and sent an email message to FatNet saying, "I know Stacey Young, I saw the show on Dateline, please have her contact." And so it's really thanks to the internet that Jesse is here with us today, and I'm really glad that he is. He's a very dear friend of mine. So Jesse, what do you have to tell everybody?
Well, thank you for that. the internet as a user, by no means am I technically proficient, even as a user at this point. I can kind of stumble my way around, but coming out of the mindset of Scientology, particularly, and I'm not trying to harp on this, but we're kind of talking about it, the secret doctrine of Scientology is something that is just instilled in every Scientologist, anyone connected to Scientology. You never, never say these things. You never talk about these secret materials. You sign bonds, waivers of $100,000, $1 million you have to pay the church. Should you ever mention anything about a dead space alien stuck on your body or whatever, you know? And so the day I logged onto the internet, I tell you, it was like a rocket ride. I could not believe it. I was in the cult of Scientology for 16 years. And, you know, I had this indoctrination. And, man, when I got on that computer that computer and I saw Zemu, you know, the evil galactic overlord coming to your home soon, you know, just what people were saying about it. And that people were even just saying anything about it at all was just so over the top for me. I literally sat in that cyber cafe with tears streaming down my face and was like, my God, you know, now I have a forum for my voice. Now I have a way to actually release some of this evil garbage that I've accumulated inside of myself as a result of association with Scientology. And I was so interested in contacting Stacey, which, you know, just kind of happened miraculously. And since that time, I've published, you know, different essays and articles to the internet that gives insight into the cult phenomena in Scientology in particular. And I've been thanked and been called courageous so many times by people for doing this that in and of itself wasn't a reaction that I expected. But, you know, people are helped by publishing personal experience. I mean, you can sit and talk intellectually about something all day, but to talk to the war victim, to get the on-the-ground story of, like, you know, at 3 o'clock the mortars were going over or whatever, seems to have, you know, a profound effect on people trying to find out about Scientology or people trying to do something to get their children out of cults or to understand why a family member may be in a cult or a friend or whatever. And I've had just numerous people thank me and write me and on. So since, and this just happened last year in July that I started doing this, and I didn't actually start posting to the internet my personal experiences until August. And even at that time, I couldn't even post it. I didn't have a computer to know how to do it. So I would sit and handwrite it, and I would put Bob Minton, you know. I actually got a chance to meet him. I couldn't believe it. You know, my family member, hey, Bob was on TV, and he was saying this. And, you know, so now I'm with Bob, and Bob Minton has, like, computers everywhere. busy writing things out longhand and giving it to him, and then he's sitting there and he's typing, you know, and he doesn't type like this, he types like this. And Stacy was there, you know, and the whole thing was just a thrill. It was just a thrill, and it was, I actually at that point felt myself being purged of the insanity that I'd been involved in, and something else was being replaced, you know, something that was actually useful and compassionate and human, as opposed to what I had been involved in. And, you know, and then I got a computer. Bob got me a computer. He said, look, I'm going to help you out here, show you how to do it. Got a little laptop, and I've just kind of been off and away ever since. And just as a user, being able to communicate with other people that have had bad experiences with cults, whether it be Scientology or whatever, is invaluable to the process of healing and reintegrating into society again as a person. You know, while I was a Scientologist, and in Scientology, the indoctrination is, for Scientologists, when you see normal people in the world walking down the street, raw meat. Oh, that's a raw, stupid piece of meat. That's an ignorant person that is so inferior to me because I am a Scientologist, and I am on my way to total freedom, you know, as they're digging ditches and getting up day and night. I mean, just the illusion created by the Scientology is just maddening in and of itself. But just to be able to associate with other people and say, yeah, this happened to me, and that happened to me, and what happened to you? Oh, my God, aren't you glad we're out? Aren't you just so happy we're away from it? What was I thinking? You know, a lot of this goes on. And I got involved in helping people, other people in other legal cases with, you know, the legal fight against Scientology because, you know, in my mind, it was all I could do to just wake up breathing every day after that Scientology experience. So that I could actually do something to help other people after being the opposite of looking at people and thinking, oh, look at this little piece of scum. You know, he'll never live forever like I'm going to. Oh, God help us. You know, to now being able to to say, hey, look, you know, I understand exactly what you're going through. Scientology is attacking you. If there's anything that I can do to help, I've been involved with Fagman's copyright suit, and I gave testimony. I did an affidavit, which is also available on the internet, on the FactNet page. Anything legally going on with FactNet is all available there. And other people have used that in other legal cases across the country to make their case because we kind of did are doing somewhat good in this copyright case because after my testimony concerning Scientology's rights to copyrights, and Von Young's testimony concerning copyright. See, we all know that Scientology really don't have copyrights. They, you know, they were fraudulently filed. You know, every trick in the book they use to try to be legal. But, you know, it's not because I was there in the planning, you know, and knew it was bad. So we've given testimony, and now the judge in the FactNet case is making Scientology prove his point. In other words, they no longer have the presumption of validity as far as copyrights are concerned. They have to prove that they've done registered their copyrights correctly, that they own them, blah, 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 which they cannot do, and we're pretty confident in that. So that testimony went into Dennis Ehrlich's case, who, you know, and other people that are fighting copyright and trademark issues with Scientology. And then also, the Lisa McPherson case. I am working with the Florida lawyer, Ken Dandar, on that as well, on how this poor child was murdered in Scientology. And any assistance that I can give anyone in the legal arena or advice or questions is something you may think, because I was a person within Scientology that supervised the activities of all the legal cases that they ran for years. I supervised all the litigation and planned litigation that they were bringing against people and had against people, as well as the black propaganda campaigns. And none of this I'm proud of, but, you know, I just got to say the truth. And then also the intelligence activities of, you know, sending implants and doing this and that and the other thing. I've supervised those things for years within Scientology. So if there's anything that I can do, if you have a question, anyone here have a question about, hey, well, I remember this happened, and, well, what was that about? You know, as I sat in Scientology for years, every day someone would bring papers like this, maybe about this many around, and they were folded, and they had little subtitles. One subtitle was CATA. CATA is an acronym for California Association of Dianetic Auditors, which Scientology was crazy over the top about, because someone else owned that name, owned the name Dianetics besides Scientology. So it was a priority to get rid of that group so that they could recover that name CATA. There was another category, subtitle on the intelligence reports called CAN, and that would detail how many infiltrators are there, what are they doing today, how much money they have, you know, who's the one where. Another subcategory, AAC, Advanced Ability Center, David Mayo's group, where he was at left Scientology, and now he's practicing his own version of L. Ron Hubbardism. And, you know, on and on and on. Wallersheim, Lawrence Wallersheim. So, you know, and then the final instruction on the paper was, when you finish reading this, shred it. So everyone that received these reports, we all had these really nice shredders, so, you know, because least information be around again, like it was in 1977, that ended up sending 11 Scientologists to prison from the raid. Because what Scientology does is so incredulous to normal waking people, you know, they just wouldn't dream of being that devious or being that underhanded or that malicious against people in general. So, you know, these things are shredded and very little information is kept around. But, you know, a lot of us here, and I've been able to be somewhat convincing because I'm telling the honest, the God truth when I speak in court about Scientology. And my, you know, and it just made me feel good to have value after, you know, doing this other thing, that I could actually do something to change it. And that's a result of the internet, web pages, different things like that. Not to mention great friends that I have here that have just been supportive of me in every way. So I offer that information and assistance to anyone in the legal arena. If you're having trouble or you have questions, you can email me, send it to Fagnet, or you can email me direct. My email address is Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, 77, at gte.net. So if you're interested in that, or you know anybody that may be interested in it, and I tell you, it means the world to me to be able to take this position now and help other people, not only with Scientology as a cult, but other cults, because, you know, I've since learned from having therapy that the principles and the influence that cults have on people, you know, there's some basic traits, and they're just universal. It's the same thing, you know, if you're in a Bible cult, you know, they're telling you they're the ones, they have the sacred lore, we're the only ones for your salvation, and, you know, really work on making you feel guilty about yourself. This is what every cult does. This is what every cult does. Scientology thinks that they're a scientific entity that does it, you know, because they're connected to the space aliens. You know, everybody's got their own twist. So, I guess in closing, what I'll say about it is, the internet is really the wave of the future. It's how people are going to receive information, be able to make judgment calls, shopping, whatever you want to do. And if you're involved in a struggle like we're involved in with trying to expose this social ill of cults in America, cults in the world, the internet is vital to that. And that's all I have to say about it.
Thank you.